Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Man, I love Wednesdays. Brian Bulaga, scheduled to appear to explain to us what the heck's going on the Packers' offensive line. Well, they got two guys named Banks. Edition. The Mike Greenberg, scheduled to appear. What show does he do? What's the show?
Mike and Mike.
No, that's what he used to. It's on TV.
Get Up is the name.
Get
of
Up,
the show.
Yeah.
Good morning,
we're GMA family.
Greeny.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's Good morning,
Greeny. Edition. And
he's got Stephanopoulos breaking down the Micah Parsons trade today.
Wow, it's kind of late to break that down. That was like a month ago now.
Well, they play this week. It makes sense.
I'm Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course, everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios and from his undisclosed location. And it's not Jones Dairy Farm, although some great videos coming out of those visits. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. It's going to be a fun week to cover this team. I think Thursdays are Micah Parsons days. Wednesdays are Jordan Love days. So we'll see what Micah Parsons has to say. I did see he talked to Rob Mahdi of the Associated Modster. Press, the Modster.
Is he doing his pod this year?
Not to my knowledge, not to this point. All business.
Do we want him? I want him to do his pod.
Wait a minute. All right,
selfish.
Let's back up.
From a selfish media standpoint.
From a content standpoint or from a Packer fan standpoint, do you want him to do the pod?
Content standpoint.
Yeah.
Room and fan standpoint, no. This show standpoint, yes.
Okay. Well, what takes precedence for you, the Packers fan and former player who cares about locker room harmony, but also a content creator?
It's a real tricky question.
Yeah, thanks. I try to ask those what I can.
How about we do a pod until November? Then we shut that pod.
So kind of a half measure kind of thought process.
Yeah, though. Just give us
some
a taste.
Say
maybe do one. How about we do one a month? Yeah, just do one a month.
Monthly
and
pod.
Have Jordan Love as the other Potter. So it's him and Jordan.
Weekly Wilde, monthly Micah.
Yeah, the monthly Micah. Yeah.
Yeah. But Jordan and him are buddies, and I watched the pod that those two did together, and I think, listen, Did that pod help bring Micah to Green Bay? It didn't hurt. So most of the times these pods are distractions and you end up having. In this case, this may have been where the pod maybe ended up bringing the Possens to Green Bay.
Pod save
so
America.
So not all pods are bad. Not all player pods are bad.
Well,
Taylor Swift ends up marrying old boy from a pod. I think we need to start looking at this in a different way. Yes. Well, okay, I'm changing my tune. I want a weekly pod, Jordan Love, Micah Parsons, every week, analyzing and then getting into their lives. I want to know more about these guys. So, yes, I'm in. I want a full-on pod. Mm.
Do you believe Jordan Love has any interest in said pod?
Maybe. I do.
I don't think he does. Like, what? He obviously has had opportunities to do this sort of stuff. You don't think this has been brought to him? I mean, they've got the same agent. I'm sure Micah has even, you know, maybe floated the idea when they had their pod together last year. What was that, during the Super Bowl week, or when was that?
Can you ask? That might be a fun question to ask him, Micah.
Sure.
Because Jordan won't give you – Jordan's going to be boring by design. He's not going to say anything. Unless you ask him off. Maybe you do one of those where
ask
you sidle
him off to the
up.
Side. I'm a big side.
You do
sure,
like a
yeah.
little sidle up.
Tic-tacs
yeah,
in my
sidle.
Pocket. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do you want me to ask exactly? Would you consider doing a podcast, a weekly podcast with your guy, Micah Parsons?
Micah.
And then
yeah.
Micah, would you consider bringing back the, you call it like love and football or something instead of love and basketball? You want me to ask Micah Parsons if he'd be interested.
I don't even know if you, I mean, maybe see where Jordan's head's at. I think we're all sitting here, and we all want to know more about Jordan Love. I think everybody does,
right? Is this all
because right?
we're not on Spotify, and you think people need content because we haven't fixed that problem yet?
No, this has nothing to do with us.
Oh, okay.
Like this,
all right. I just made
I mean,
sure.
The only thing this has is I feel fairly confident, like when it was, if we had done the show when you were doing it with Aaron or when McAfee did it with him, you're going to be intrigued by what he has to say, and especially – when you broke things down
yeah,
with
that was good.
The quarterback and you actually got the insight, that is gold for fans.
Yeah,
fans are going to get content one way or the other. You can either get paid handsomely and do it, or you can let someone else do it. And I don't blame these guys for not doing it. They're under enough scrutiny. But I would love to see a Micah Jordan Love pod. I think it'd be fun. I'm in.
So
Jesse, I mean, would you be in? Like everybody, every Packer fan, poll that, Jesse. I think it'd be fun. Who wouldn't want it? Because, the distractions. Let me tell you something. There's distractions. There's Omaha Productions is doing a big thing with the Packers. Like, there is stuff on stuff on stuff anyways. So why not control your own narrative and make a couple bucks along the way? Huh?
So here's what I would say. And by the way, this didn't dawn on me until you just said that. Is Rodgers not doing McAfee this year, or have I just not been paying attention?
Boy, I would think you'd hear about it. It's 3 weeks in, I guess.
Right.
It's not.
That's what I'm saying.
But
wow.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's probably a good move. It's a good move for him.
Focused on winning football games with the Steelers. Good for him.
Yeah, but I want Jordan and Micah to do it.
I understand. So that's my point. If you're a Packers fan, we can poll this. I love the idea of polling it. Totally on board with polling it. I'm very curious.
How about this? Do you believe – so Joshy, Big Cat gets – you know, he got the big promotion. Big Cat's awesome. We love Big Cat here.
We do.
Both Big Cats. I like Big Cat down in Chicago.
Big Cat helped me get to 1 million views last night. Appreciate that.
You?
Which Big Cat?
1 million
yeah.
views?
Uh-huh.
You?
DiMaggio?
No,
the other Big Cat.
The other. The
Andres
actual,
Galarraga?
The actual Big Cat. Yeah.
Andres Galarraga is the nice original pull. Big Cat. No,
right.
He's the original
Big
Cat.
So Josh is a third generation Big Cat then.
He is a third generation Big Cat. Typically the
it's
third
more of a
generation.
House cat.
Is where things fail when you're talking business, but that's.
But he got a big promotion.
Do you really think that Packer fans Do you really think Packer fans don't care about Jordan Love's personal life?
No, like, no.
Big Cat said he doesn't. I don't believe him.
I don't either. What I do think is that Packers fans care very deeply about not wanting distractions. And I think that there was certainly a, and again, not the the group is not homogeneous. It's not all of one thought. This fan base is full of different people, just like the world is. But I would think the majority of Packers fans, if they looked at it through the lens of potential distraction from what they believe to be a Super Bowl championship caliber team.
If you're going to be distracted by that, your team's not good enough anyways.
Well, no, not if it, like, if he said, look.
The Bears went in 86 and did a rap song and released
85,
it. The Eagles did a Christmas 85. Album and won a championship. Get out of here with that. Like, right, come on, man.
So the Super Bowl shuffle, and I guess I wasn't aware of the Christmas album that the Eagles
put Kelsey out. And the O-line did a Christmas album. Okay, and they won a championship.
Yes, and the tight ends used to put out their own Christmas card of them in, like, ugly sweaters for the Packers, right? Tom Crabtree and J. Mike and the crew. I'm not saying everything is a distraction, but when you – just like Rashid Walker riffing away at his locker and stumbles into, I think we can go undefeated, and incurring the wrath of his head coach – and then he plays poorly, the line plays poorly, the Packers play poorly, and they lose. I would think that through that prism, you would say, you know what? There's going to be things said that shouldn't be said. There's a chance that it could be disruptive. Like, I would be curious. I don't cover the Cowboys. Were there times when Micah Parsons said things during that time when he was doing that podcast that caused internal locker room strife?
He did, yeah.
Right, so who needs it? Who wants it?
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
But that's all.
I also am looking. Let me just put it to you this way. If I am
put
a coach or a member of the G&G, I don't want him doing the pod. But from a fan standpoint, and certainly from the perches we sit in.
From our spot, no doubt.
We want him doing it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But
so
I'd be curious how fans
blame the players.
Votes.
I would not, but all of us did weekly radio shows. Every one of us when I played.
Yeah, that's. I feel like there were.
Era.
Yes, A, different era. B, I feel like there were better guardrails to.
Well, there was no social media.
Well, that's for sure true. So if you said something foolish on Breakfast with the Boys, it did not. It may not have even gotten the attention of your own locker room because a lot of guys weren't listening, right? Whereas now,
I don't know.
It gets clipped and it's everywhere on social media. That's where most, like, nobody's sitting and listening to all the entirety of, I don't know, the Amon-Ra Equanimeous St. Brown podcast.
No,
but
they
if they
clipped.
Say, but if they say something of import and controversial, Lord knows it's going to find its way onto Twitter. So, again,
yes, sir.
Go ahead. Put that on. I'll retweet the poll. I'm curious to see if Packers fans are more interested in being entertained. Entertain me. Are you not entertained?
No, it's simply is. Would you be excited? Would you be excited if Jordan Love and Micah Parsons did a weekly pod? I'm not interested in we want to win or be entertained because everybody's going to say they want to win.
So right, but
would
that's,
you
we're,
be,
we're going if, weekly? Weekly is what you want to propose here? Because you said monthly a little bit ago.
You want to go bi-weekly twice a month just to kind of level it out?
And then we can have the big debate about what does bi-weekly mean? Because it means both twice a week and
it's
a month
about
every
debates.
Other week.
Debate, yep.
I just would like to thank my guy Josh DiMaggio, who has now come up with the alternative idea of me hosting the podcast.
Oh, we'd love
Jordan
that.
Moore,
yeah.
With Jordan Love and Micah Parsons. Because, again, I do feel like, and this is not saying that, because believe me, I read the YouTube comments. I understand I'm not the greatest host in radio history, but I do provide some measure of guardrails when I think if players left to their own devices at times may say things that they don't necessarily think should be put out into the universe. But they get going, and that's when stuff gets said. Like, again, I try to defend Rashid to the head coach because I don't think he waltzed in there, puffed chest to say.
You threw him under the bus as you were pulling.
No, not at all.
You did.
He was the one that said it pisses me off when we're talking about things beyond this week. I was trying to have my guys back.
I get it. Not easy. You tried. You feigned. I'd say you feigned.
I did not. It was authentic. Speaking of authentic, Barry Alvarez is always authentic. He talked to Jim Polzine yesterday.
A little backpedal.
About his,
a little backpedal
his beep, program.
Beep,
let me quote this correctly. The I got to a million views. Jesse Nelson show.
This guy right here. Yeah. Million.
Which also
wasn't that
includes...
on ESPN Madison? That wasn't on yours.
Yeah, but I'm in the clip. I'm in the clip. Derek Engler got to a million views, too.
No, that's
nice
not
job.
What you said.
Congratulations to Derek.
Million.
Now who's backpedaling? You never have to backpedal. We'll get to what Barry told my buddy Jim Polzine momentarily. After Tausch tells us about you never have to backpedal from your decision to get Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Indeed you don't. And when a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. A lot of customers, they might have apprehensions about inviting someone out to their home. But when you see the experience and professionalism, you can trust them with bringing your project to life. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. Order by the end of the month and get zero interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
We will hear or read what Barry Alvarez had to say to Jim Polzine. And among those million views, apparently, is Cindy Alvarez, who informed him of some of the blowback that he was receiving. We will get to that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world, cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly.
Brian Blog is scheduled to appear at the bottom of the hour. And then Mike Greenberg scheduled to join us at 10:30 Central Time, so stay tuned for that. Jim Polzine, columnist for the Wisconsin State Journal, spoke with Barry Alvarez, who learned of the blowback that his comments to Jesse Nelson.
The Wisconsin State Journal, very similar to the Dallas Cowboys here with you, right? Wouldn't you be there, Micah Parsons?
I guess.
Kind of, right?
Sort of.
Right?
There wasn't the same level of negotiation, I would say.
And Burnsy is Ed Policy, right? Over at Channel 3000? Isn't that kind of how this works?
Yes. Thank you to Brian Burns.
Who's Jera? Who's
Colin
Jera?
Benedict and everybody over there. Scott Chastain, thank you. I'm happy to be employed. Thank you very much. He talked to Jim Polzine, and you know I love to read on the radio, and Jim did not send me his audio from this conversation. So, and as much as I want to do my Barry Alvarez, I don't do it as well as Tausch, so I'm going to read it in my regular voice.
Okay.
Can you read it, and then can Tausch do it in Barry voice? And we're going to do a little experience.
No, but I did think while I was walking the dogs this morning, I thought, you know who we need to talk to, see if he'll say anything that gets Jesse a million views. We have to actually reach out to Chili now. We got to talk to Chili. We talk about talking to Brad Childress, and we never actually call him. So we need to put that on the to-do.
We had the idea years ago of the Chili cook-off with Chili. in like February.
That would have been fun.
We should bring it. We should do it.
Yeah. Well, we're Facebook friends, so I'll have to send him a Facebook message. All right. I think more than anything else, Barry Alvarez told Jim Polzin, I tend to overreact at times. I meant what I said, but I think the way I said it, I'm sure I overreacted. Alvarez paused before continuing. You're there to support your team and your coach. They've got recruits there to help them in the future, and you're booing players. Every coach knows they're going to be criticized. That's part of their job. But, man, I don't like that for kids. If I'm a recruit that they have in for the weekend and I hear them yelling, fire the coach or whatever, and booing, I'm not going there. That all ties together. That you guys characterize this as backpedaling. And I didn't find that to be super backpedally. I would also add, he later says, I have to be careful because I can be very outspoken. Yes, that's why we at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse love you, coach. I'm not here to be critical of anybody. Well, I don't have all the answers, and I don't want to seem like that. I want them to be good, and I want to support them however I can. I believe that those things are true, and he means that.
But hey, I'll give a
no doubt. I literally pretty much told you this yesterday. Did I not? I said he's going to look at it from a coach's perspective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He isn't looking at it from a fan's perspective. He is incredibly invested in what he's built. And he obviously is frustrated and wants this thing to turn around and be a lot better. So, yeah, he got – and this has happened to him in the past, last year's a couple of times, where I think things didn't go the way we wanted them to go as Badger fans. And you get frustrated. And – Lord knows we've said things here. I don't know if we've went to the point of where Barry went yesterday, but you have to be authentic if you're going to do these things. And if you're not, nobody's going to care because it's like, well, you know, what is he, you know, what is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
We understand where Barry's head's at, and I think his overflow of passion led him to say some things that I think he doesn't want to say. I don't think he really wants fans booing at bars. Jesse?
I lost it from yesterday.
What do you mean you lost it?
Yeah, I didn't say
I gave
that.
You a long pause. I wanted you to hit
it.
Boo at a bar.
I didn't. Let me.
They used it on Jim, Matt, and Molly when I was
using
on.
It all over the place. It's a great drop. Anyways. This is much ado about nothing. This is where you're at with this program. Obviously, there's a lot of people frustrated. Fans let it go. Barry is looking out for the general well-being of the organization, which is, he's right. I mean, recruits and their families and everybody else is going to look at this. Now, I would say recruits are going to look at this on a bigger picture and say we can be part of the solution moving forward if they're worth a lick, that's what it is, but obviously everybody wants to be around winning, and it's a lot more fun for everybody involved, and that's the challenge of the next 8 games that this program has in front of it.
Early returns from the poll question. Mark Tauscher wants Micah Parsons to do a regular podcast with Jordan Love. Do you also wish this would happen? 54% of you, no.
Yeah, I believe 46% that.
46% of you, yes. So
the
I think, there we go. Welcome back, Barry.
Oh, there we go.
Boo in a bar. I don't want to, tell people how to vote. I have retweeted that, but it would appear that at least some people are considering the ramifications beyond just the entertainment value of a Micah Parsons podcast. And we'll see how that poll plays out.
And I'll say this. It will not do from a team standpoint, I don't think it would help. But I do think it would be very fun. I do.
And it can be presented by UW Credit Union, because they're a great partner of ours, and I'm sure they'd love to get a million views from Jesse whenever he tweets out something from the Parsons Love podcast.
For every stage of life, your podcasting life, your football life, your media life, UW Credit Union is here forever. You proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years. They'll help you reach your financial goals. And people ask me, why did you join UW Credit Union? Well, to keep your banking local. Yep. Member first service. Yep. Great perks like early payday. Yep. We love Bucky. Bucky and I are back on good terms. We had a good showing out at the GBO. Hugged it out. If you love Wisconsin like I do, you just can't pay with anything else. Fandom will make you do crazy things, but this just makes sense. Become a UW Credit Union member today. Get your Bucky card like I did. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
Brian Bulaga breaks down the offensive line breakdowns. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Hey, it's Mike Greenberg. I'm fired up to be joining Wildy and Tausch Wednesday morning to talk about my latest book, Got Your Legends. I'll be giving listeners a chance to win a signed copy by guessing how I put together my Packers Mount Rushmore. That's Wednesday at 10:30. Don't miss it on Wildy and Tausch.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
Time for me to tweet out the fact that our famous friend is on the programs. Let me introduce him so I can get that taken care of. Mark Tauscher is a Packers Hall of Famer. I don't know what the holdup is on this guy, but he'll be there soon.
Has he been retired 5 years yet? When did Brian retire?
Why don't you
his
just
last season was 21, less? Right? Your last season was 2021?
Yeah.
So your eligibility is approaching.
I think it's starting up here pretty soon.
Uh-oh.
Jesse!
But in fairness, I don't
we
know.
We would like to be able to hear him. Actually,
well, I would like to be able to hear
I don't
him
even
too.
Know if that's part of the criteria.
I don't think so. Mark Murphy retired, and then like 2 weeks later, he went to the Hall of Fame.
He was forced out, though.
So was Brian!
I guess we're all forced.
Exactly.
Actually, we're all
so were you.
So, yeah, it's... All right, to hell with it. Brian, yeah, okay. There
get
you
him
go.
In there! Let's
My
go!
Bad.
Brian, we love your smile. We like your voice better. Jesse, fix this. Come on.
I just asked Brian. He might have to do something on his end. If not, I'm going to call him on the phone.
All right, you know what? Let's do this.
We haven't had this issue in like a year. This is, you know,
right, but here, let's do this. This is actually a blessing in disguise.
Should we see if we can't mime read Brian's mouth?
Yeah, what's up with Zach
and then
Tom?
Interpret what he's saying?
I'm not a lip reader.
Might be kind of fun.
Sweep together. We said sweep together. Let's do this. Let's see if we can get this fixed. And this way we don't have to take a break. What do we talk to?
Just a one shotter. And we might be able to get out by 10:15. That's not bad. Not a bad idea.
All right. So we will work on repairing our connectivity with Brian Bulaga. I will take this opportunity to tell you and Brian, if we could hear him, he would agree that Gruber Law Offices is the best in the business. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Go to the website, gruber-law.com. You know how much I love David. He's a good friend, and I hope I never need his legal advice because I've been seriously injured. I hope you don't either. But if you have been, there's only one call to make. Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. We will reconnect with Brian Bulaga, and then we're just rolling, baby. 30 straight minutes until 10:23 at the rate we usually go. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. City we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some.
with our famous friend. And we'll keep him as long as an episode of Criminal Minds doesn't break out in his neighborhood. It is Brian Bulaga on Wildy and Tausch. Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, look at you.
Quick
question. We all know what a great teammate you were, just like Tausch was a great teammate to you, mentoring you when you arrived to take his job. When someone makes a mistake that makes you look bad, which is what Jesse did, right? You're sitting there, you're talking, we can't hear you. And Jesse admitted privately and now publicly, because I'm telling you, that it was his fault. It was a mistake by him. He Matt LaFleur'd it there, except that actually was his fault. How do you handle that as a teammate? Do you just say, do you thank him for acknowledging his screw up?
I got my guy. I got my guy. I don't know what you're doing.
I mean, like, you know, I guess when, you know, when something like that happens, you know, and publicly, you know, it's nice. Cause it never really gets admitted publicly. Right. I mean, unless it comes out days later, and once it comes out days later, the damage has been done technically. Right. Like, I mean, it's already gone through the media publicly. You've been scrutinized for it. And normally it's a back page story at that point. Right. Like, I mean, so they came out and they said it was actually my fault. I should have done this. And people have moved on already. Right. Like, you're on to the next thing. So it's kind of, it's backstory. So it doesn't matter. Right. I mean, you appreciate the person taking accountability, but it's kind of, you know, you've moved on. Right. If it happens in the moment, you appreciate it a lot more.
What if Sitton tells him again it was your fault?
That would never happen, Brian.
No, that never happened. That would have never happened.
Jason, you are a real pot stirrer. Look at what he's doing. And we wonder why nobody likes the media. Oh boy, right here, stirring that pot.
I know.
Hey, my grade shouldn't have been that low. That was actually Bulaga. He didn't slide down on that protection.
I never got four footballs from Bob. I know that. I never got the four footballs from Bob. Yeah.
Well, that's why you're not in the Hall of Fame yet. So, Brian, let's get your just kind of overarching perspective of what happened in Cleveland on Sunday, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the offensive line and Jordan Morgan's lack of versatility, it would appear, and some of the other aspects of how that played out. But what was kind of your overarching view of the Packers' first loss of the season and the Browns' first win of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll start with the positive, and the positive was that the defense continues on, right? Like, I mean, the defense continues on looking the exact same way as they did the first 2 weeks, right? I mean, I get Cleveland's offense is bad. But you still got to go out there and play. And the Packers defense did exactly that. They went out there and played, and they played the exact same way. So there's the positive to that. They did exactly what they needed to do. And I think, I mean, if I get, there were 13 points on the board, but you could say it shouldn't have even been that, because I think the interception set up seven of those. You could say, right. I mean, they put them on the doorstep. Mm-hmm. So I think the defense did exactly what they needed to do in that game, even if they did allow 13 points, right? Like, you give up 13 points in a game, I think everyone expects to win the game, right? Like, I think no matter what, like, if your defense gives up 13 points in a game, you're going, okay, probably should win this football game. So, regardless of the fact, Packers defense staying on track with exactly how they performed in the first 2 weeks. So, let's start there. On the flip side, I mean, obviously it starts play one, right? I mean, Zach Tom goes out there, and whether I thought he was ready, which I have no idea, I have no inside information, just
hey,
based
Blue,
on what
Blue,
he was saying.
Before you jump in there, we did hear, I heard Jason say this Friday on our show, and I am not up there. I'm not scouring injury reports. I see the same thing that fans and everybody else do. When Jason said Zach Tom couldn't run straight ahead on Friday, I immediately thought, he ain't playing. And then you're going to ask him to block, you know, Myles Garrett and everything else. So I love the fact that he tried to gut it out, but those are the things that set you back when you do that. And I know we both have had this where you, the training staff trusts you and understanding that you know that you can go out and do what you need to do, but you can't practice that stuff. Everybody feels good on Friday when you just don't have to move the way you need to. And that domino effect, I believe, was a huge part of why the offensive line had one of its worst days since I've been doing this job. Continue.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you kind of said it for me. Like, it starts there, right? I mean, you start there, and regardless if you think he's ready or not, it's one play. He comes out, and it starts immediately with they insert Jord Morgan there. And that, to me, was the biggest head-scratcher move because, again, I'm not in the building. I'm not at practice. I don't know who's taking what reps, but from all indications, I thought Belton was going to start the game, right? Like, that was my thought going into this game, was that Belton was starting. So when I saw him going down, I'm like, okay, well, Belton's going in, and this is exactly what they had already planned for anyway. So, okay, like, they should be prepared. And then I see Jord Morgan go in there, and then the first play, it's a sack, and it looks completely it looks like a disaster the next snap. And it just continued on that way. Right. Like, and it just, nobody looked settled. No one looked comfortable. And it was just like a snowball effect on and on. And we continued to see, which again, like, I don't want to continue to like beat this drum, but like we continued to see the run game not there. And I get Cleveland's really good against the run. Right. Like, and I understand that but like at some point here, like there has to be some life in this thing, right? Like, we got to see life in this run game because it's such a big part of this offense. It is a vital part of this offense because what it does for the passing game and the play action and movement and pocket movement and like, you know, moving the launching point. And when you're going against these teams with great pass rushers like Myles Garrett, you need to move the launching point. Like, you have to do it. You have to get Jordan and move him around. And if you can't run the ball, like, you're not going to do a play action because nobody thinks you can run the ball. So, like, it doesn't matter. It's starting to – I'm not saying it worries me, but, like, this week in Dallas, you have to run the football. Like, you have to start putting it on tape that, like, this is an emphasis. Like, it has to become an emphasis that we are going to be a team that is running the ball because, like, it is such a vital part. And then, obviously, you know, Banks goes out, and then we switch Jord Morgan again, and then Belton goes in. Mm-hmm. So now we're – and this goes into things that, like, you know, we've talked about on this show. Yep.
He would like you to acknowledge his sound effect for dominoes, please.
It's my dominoes all falling.
Okay. The
dominoes,
tell him how great it is, cascading. And then continue your
thoughts. Doesn't need to say how great it is, Jason, but it is, I want to just keep reiterating that you can't just throw people at different spots. Blue, it's unfair to what, like, Jord Morgan's a big boy. He is a first-round pick, and nobody should feel sorry for him. But nope. what they've done, they are not putting him in the best position to succeed. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what I said it on Monday to Homer. I go, listen, I'm not making excuses for him. I'm not doing any of that. But, like, you put him out there at right tackle, a place that he hasn't taken any reps, there's going to be mistakes. He is not – most likely he is not going to play well out there. There is a good chance that things aren't going to go well. Like, I'm just going to say that. Like, it's probably not going to go well. And he false starts. He sees 95 lined out there up against him. Yeah, probably not going to go well. Like, I mean, it's just
look out!
Dead honest.
Look out!
Like, yeah, like that clip is that's not
that
good.
Is
that's
funny
not a good clip.
And I think Blue. Oh, I think boy. We could say that's happened to all of us at some point where you're late on the snap count. Now, what Myles Garrett did there with one step is why he's a blanket freakazoid. It's unbelievable what he did.
Oh gosh, that's I'm like, and now with the technology, how clear as day as that is, like that's very God. Clear. You hear everything. It's yeah. That's oof, boy.
Yeah, it's not where you want to be.
No, oof, gosh, yeah, not good. But it's just like things. If you move him there and expect him to like play well, it's probably not going to happen. Like he's been playing left guard. And like, okay, you asked him to go play right guard. Okay, yeah, I mean, I think he could go do that.
He rotated there in the opener. Right.
Yes. You asked him to play left tackle. He did that in preseason. He'd probably play left tackle and do a serviceable job. It's not that he's been playing there a bunch, probably in practice, but left guard. But you asked him to go play right tackle. Hasn't taken any snaps there. Maybe he took some on Friday. Maybe. I would guess not. Maybe he did, but like, I don't know that. So I just don't understand the move. But then you up and move him again. And now here he is. And now you're asking the other guys to play next to someone different. And now they're communicating next to someone different. And this is what I was getting into. When you start moving guys around all in within a game and you're asking guys to play next to different people, it's not easy. And you're playing this game of like, oh, well, he's versatile. I could plop him here, and then I can move him here, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's never worked, and that's why, like, whenever, like, and again, maybe this is old school mentality. It was always a like for like change, and then you figure it out next week. Like,
I was just going to ask you that. What? So if you're Steno and your butt kiss, don't you just say, all right, this is what we're doing. If something happens to Elton, we're going here, and then after that game, we will revisit, at least give guys a week's worth of practice to do it. And I know things got crazy. Zach gets hurt immediately, and Banksy goes out, and then old boy's got to slide out to Shido's spot because his helmet gets busted up. So I know this was an aberration, but what would you do right now if you said you're starting five or back healthy for the Cowboy game? You telling Jordan Morgan, prep for both guard spots? Or what? How are you gonna? What would you do going into this week in Dallas?
If I had my full five starting back,
yep,
is what you're saying.
Yep.
I mean, if I had my starting five back, yeah. I mean, I would go Jordan Morgan, preps for the inside two. Belton probably is the swing tackle, is the way I would look at it.
Which is what he was. Because then, when Sheed goes out for a couple of snaps, they move him to left tackle. And they bring in Darian Kennard to play right tackle. Clearly, they don't think Darian Kennard can play left tackle. Because you just put Belton in at right tackle, and then you move him again. So you move two guys twice in the same game. And look, I don't think Zach Thomas playing this week. I don't think Aaron Banks is playing this week. I think, you know, what's the old saying, once bitten, twice shy? I think those guys are getting shut down. They're going to then have the bye week next week, and then the hope is that you're able to hit the reset button on both those guys, because that was a, as Tausch likes to say, a blank show. And it was the worst, one of the worst teams you could have that happen against, because you were already going against a good defensive front.
Yeah, the only thing that was missing was Gooch. Putting Gooch in at right guard. That's the only thing that I think we could have been more of a blank show if the Goochinator was back and they threw him at right guard.
What's your scouting report on Gooch as a guard? Were you lined
hands.
Up next to him in that game?
Heavy hands.
No, I didn't. I didn't line up next to him. But heavy hands, nasty attitude, maybe not a full grasp of the offense. You know, not a full
mauler.
Understanding of the concept.
I bet he was a mauler.
Mahler, nasty attitude. Not overly coachable. Not overly coachable.
That's right. You know, that's why he was such a late ad. So, Blue, what did you think of – listen, Cleveland's interior – and LaFleur said this to his credit. Obviously, everybody knew going in how great Myles Garrett is, and he is. We saw it on the clip. Like, he is a boss. But their interior guys, Malik Collins, is it? And then their first-round pick from Michigan. They're really good players. Elton, it seemed as if Elton, and you watched the tape a heck of a lot more closely than I do. Elton struggled. Like, yeah. Where are we at, do you think? Because this is the part of the – can we get this fixed when everybody's back?
So Elton struggled. I mean, okay, so first road game, right? First road game, silent count. First time going through those mechanics, right? Going through the mechanics of head between your legs, doing silent cadence, you know, picking your head up and snapping the football and re-identifying things as your head is coming up and snapping a football and adjusting to movement on the fly. Like, those are things that, as a guard, you don't have to do, right? You're seeing those things as they're happening. As a center, you have to adjust to that as you're picking your head up and snapping the football. And those are trained things. Like, that's not just something you are just able to do, right? Like, that's something that takes guys years to do, or they're centers their whole lives, and that's just how they're trained to do it, right? Like, and he missed time probably when they did that in Indy, when they went on the road to Indy and they did the joint practice. Most likely they did silent cadence there and they practiced it there. And it's just something that when you miss those types of reps, you don't get practice at it. And that's where I saw Elton struggle, was movement. And there were reps that in pass pro, like, he was sliding to a, like, he'd be sliding and there'd be movement across his face and he just missed it, right? And he'd be sliding, he'd be picking his head up, there'd be movement, and he would get to it so late, like, he'd be late redirecting to it. And again, I don't like making excuses for anybody. Like, again, it's not something I do. It's, you got to be able to do it. Like, you have to be able to do it, pick these things up. But, like, these are repetitions. Like, these are things that, and when you move someone to center that hasn't played center full time, right? And it's your first road game. These are the growing pains that come with this. Like, this is part of the
hard spot.
This is
play.
Part of the, yeah, this is part of the adjustment of putting someone in center that isn't a center from day one. Like, that's part of it, right? So do I think he can fix it? Yes, I do. I mean, I do think he can fix it. Like, Malik Collins, I mean, he was in Dallas, so he's been in that system. Yeah, he's been in that system of a lot of, like, the Marinelli, like, that's all they used to do is just move. That's all they did, just quick one-gap movements, stemming, and, like, that's all they used to do. So, like, he's very good at those things. And when you have D linemen that do, you know, one-gap stems and quick movements, and you're a center that isn't used to, you know, having his head between his legs and snapping it and sliding and that type of stuff's going on, it's going to be tough. And I think he'll be fine. I think he could pick it up, but it just takes reps to do it, and I get it. Now we're three games in, and you're thinking, well, do we have time? Like, is there time to pick this up? I mean, yes, there is. There is time. And, you know, Dallas would be a good start, and I get, like, Kenny's there or whatever it may be. Is Kenny even going to play? I saw he got hurt. I don't know if he's even going to be active or not.
Good question.
I don't know how severe the injury is. If Kenny doesn't play, that's terrible for Dallas. It's even worse for Dallas. But Elton's a pro. He's going to watch the tape and evaluate himself critically, right, as he would regardless. So I think he'll be fine. But I think everyone on that offensive line, man, I mean, I think Rob told me the stat, 42% pressure rate on dropbacks.
That was not a good
like,
day.
That is nope. – That is a brutal number, man. Like, I just, it's a rough number. I know if that was a room that I was in, or Tosh, if that was a room that you were in, that would be a really bad meeting. Like,
Blue, and that's why I'm not overly concerned. There's now the fact that we're probably down our two highest paid O linemen moving forward. You know that the focus, even if you had won that game, guys in that room and the coaches were going to be all over this group because it was not a good day. They didn't run it great. You protected in one of the worst ways that we've seen with Jordan Love. So the guys, the boys will be focused. And good news for them, they don't have to worry about Micah Parsons. And they might not have to worry about Kenny. And it will be a good time to get right because you've seen what some of these other offenses have been able to do. So, Blue, with all that, under that kind of metric and what we saw, am I crazy to say Matt LaFleur had no business even thinking about throwing the football with Jordan? And again, I've said this Monday, I said it yesterday, Jordan can't make that throw. But you have to understand the big picture. And the big picture was you didn't protect well. You didn't run it well. Your defense was dominant. Punt the ball, make them go 80, and you're walking out of there with a 10-3 win. And they didn't do that. And I don't say do that every week. If you're playing Baltimore or Buffalo or you're playing somebody that you fear offensively can go with getting four downs, go ahead and throw it. But for that game in that circumstance, don't even think about it. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. I mean, you're not crazy. I mean, and that's like the, I mean, that was the big question we talked about Monday, and it's, you could, I mean, still talk about it today. And like, I mean, obviously, if it's me, and obviously I'm Mr., you know, Mr. Run the Ball. I love running the ball. Yeah. I mean, I'm turning around and handing it to eight. Like, right? And I'm taking my chance. But, I mean, and it's a third and long three. You know, obviously, I think the Browns are expecting Green Bay to throw the ball. You're looking at the way the safety's jumping the routes. He's jumping the routes at the sticks. He's expecting a throw there. He even cuts Tucker Kraft loose because that Tucker Kraft comes open on the opposite side of that route and jumps the route for the pick. So, like, and the thing is, like, Jordan Love, the throws, the decision's bad, been pressured all day. So in his mind, he's already like, I got to get rid of this ball because what's been happening to me all day is pressure. I mean, 42% of the time, that gets to you after, regardless of who you are, it gets to you. Hang on to that ball a half second later, whether, you know, you have the time or not, Kraft is open. Right. But that's hindsight. That's, I don't play the position. I mean, I'm just looking at the tape. That's just me looking at it from the bird's eye view of it. But that's what Cleveland was expecting us to the sticks throw, right? Like that's just what they did. But that's something Matt now, you know, he hasn't had, you know, and again, I don't know what he's thinking at the time or on the sidelines or like what his mentality is. Hasn't had a defense that he knows, like, they're that good. They're definitely not, like, I mean, the worst Cleveland's going to get there is three. Like, they're good. I mean, or the at the best, Cleveland will get is three if we punt it back to them. Right? So, like, it's a learning situation, I think, for the quarterback. I think it's a learning situation for Matt. I think it's, for everyone in general, in that situation, it's kind of a watch it, learn from it and kind of, you know, take that in because, you know, we all look at it too. Cause like I looked at it, you know, a bunch of times, you know, just not to play, but I thought about it and I mean, you played with Aaron and Brett and I only played with Aaron. I know I played with Herbert too. If I had to take a guess in that situation, Aaron's taking the ball and throwing it. And now Herbert's taking the ball and throwing it too. So like, that's most likely what's happening with both of those guys in that situation. That's what they're doing, if I'm taking a guess. Aaron's going to throw it, and Herbert's probably going to throw it.
That specific pass and getting picked off?
No. I'm saying the ball's going to be in their hands, is what I'm saying. Like, they're going to have the ball. Like is what I'm saying is like.
Yeah, but Blue, I would argue if the game flow was the same as this. I don't want Rodgers. I don't know if I even want Tom Brady throwing it. Like, you're going to win the game. That's all these guys care about.
I get it. I'm not saying that what you want or what anyone at home wants. I'm just saying, like, what are the odds that with the people, with the coaches on the sidelines, who their guy is, who is their – if the game's on the line, who are you putting it in the hands of? Like, that's what they look at and who's their guy, and the guy is their quarterback.
Sure.
Like, that's
you pay him $55 million a year for him to have the ball in his hands.
Fellas, I agree in most cases, but you have to understand they couldn't move the ball.
No, we're agreeing with you. We're saying what Matt LaFleur is thinking.
I understand.
I agree
all
with
that.
You.
And I'm saying Matt LaFleur needs to. No, I get it, guys. I'm saying Matt LaFleur and Jim Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin or whomever it would be, if you're in that spot, you always want analytics, and all these guys are a lot more aggressive than when I played. It was a lot more conservative running the football.
No one's ever throwing that ball when you were playing.
This case specific, you run it, and if you don't get it, you punt it, and you win the game. And that's rare, but that Browns team is rare. Great defense, El Stinko on offense, and your defense is now dominant. And I think that's where Matt and the staff have to kind of get their head wrapped around the fact that until proven otherwise, this defense is dominant. They're not good. Oh, they're not. Yeah. Well, we might give something up late. They're dominant. And you're going to now ask with 3 minutes and no timeouts, Micah and Rashawn and Devontae and Van Ness get to go hunt? Because they ain't running it. They're going to hunt. And you know what? Joey Flacco is going to beat a slow gazelle that gets wolfed down and eaten by the hunters. That's what's going to happen.
I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with your points. I'm not here saying you're wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm literally just looking at it from a perspective of put it in your quarterback's hands. Like that's all. That's the only thing I'm looking at it from. Like, all I could think of, I'm in the huddle there, you know, I'm playing, and all I, you know, play comes in, scat 200, why stick? And I just kind of look in the huddle, I'm like, here we go, scat 200, third and three. And then walk the line, here we go, scat 200. And that'd be the call. And like that, you know, that's what I'm thinking. It's, you know, scat 200 game. Got a big duel here.
Hey, you know what? Hey, you know what? If it's versus Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers that have scored 24 points, or if it's against Tom Brady and the Patriots, or Joe Burrow and the Bengals, I'm on board. That's not what you had, and that's why I think it was the wrong play. That's all.
I'm turning around and giving it to eight. I'm turning around and giving it to eight. If he gets a yard, gets 2 yards, whatever at that point. Because then you kill it down and you're punting it with, like, you know, two.
They've got one timeout left. They've only got one timeout left.
Yeah, they burn that timeout. They got 3 minutes, probably three and some change, to go 80 blanking yards when they haven't went 30 yards all day.
Right.
Yeah. But
there we go.
Brian, we're glad we got you connected. Thank you for the effort on your end, even though it was Jesse's fault. Way to be a good teammate to him. enjoy your day in your neighborhood. I hope everything's good in the neighborhood. And
It's not. Apparently, there's like DE agents walking down my street right now.
All right, so
I can't go outside.
I didn't know if we were bringing that up or not. So you made it through your segment without anybody busting down your door, so that's good. But what exactly is occurring in your quiet little cul-de-sac?
Apparently, there's a manhunt for somebody, and it's like a federal deal, and I can't go outside. There's helicopters circling around. The sheriff's department's in here. It's a federal
You get like a text to say stay in your house, or how do you know you can't go outside?
That's a great question.
By the community. The HOA said stay inside, lock your doors, don't answer it unless it's a federal or like a officer.
Wow.
So
and they're not – I can tell you they're not hunting for LaTroy Guyon. Although he was arrested, and he's apparently still in Green Bay. I sent you guys the link from WFRV TV up here. He's found a new business up here in Green Bay, allegedly. So he's up here. Okay. So they're not searching for him in your neighborhood. Brian,
no.
Stay safe. We'll see you next time. We appreciate you.
Sounds good. Take it easy.
That is Brian Bulaga. Never dull in the neighborhood. Hopefully everything's all right there. We will get ready for Mike Greenberg, who is scheduled to appear at 10:30. But before we can do that, I need to tell you about Lakeland Supply. Core values are an important piece to any successful business, and Lakeland Supply is no different.
They've been displaying their core values in the industrial supply space for over 40 years. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They're ISO certified, a Future 50 winner, top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. And Lakeland isn't one of those catalog companies. I'm all choked up talking about them. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans around what you want. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. So set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.